All right, everyone, welcome to the Geek Tyrant Podcast. It's March 1st, and it's 8 p.m., and we're live on Ustream. On the panel, we have...
Wow, it's echoing.
It's echoing?
You have to turn one of them off, dude.
Yeah, it's...
It's echoing? Oh, hold on. Can you still hear it?
Who's echoing?
Wait, now I can't hear you. Hold on.
Now we don't.
Yeah, we're here.
Hold on a sec.
This is just so professional, isn't it, folks?
Oh.
It really is professional. We're professional people, we're professional geeks. We know how to work computers and play video games and watch movies.
Everything else is just a bonus.
Everything happens in between. Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Well, everything's echoing, man.
Do you have...
Even me, this is weird.
You have Ustream and...
Me, this is weird.
Alright, folks.
Pick one or the other, Mr. Dude.
Alright, I'm with it now. I'm with it.
You good?
Sorry.
If you have a headset, you can pipe it through your headset.
Oh, no, it's just me and my microphone here, man. I'm old school.
Or you can put some headphones on.
I was tripping myself out. That was weird. Anyway. Sorry, take it away, man. Take it away, Mazer.
Okay. All right, should I start again? Just the recording?
Yeah,
All right.
Just let it go.
I'm going to Twitter this.
Let's
we can get more viewers.
Yeah, Twitter it and we'll give it a sec. I can still hear an echo of myself.
Oh, that's just people talking outside.
So who's here tonight anyway?
We've got Mr. Black. We have Abe Froman, Dr. Vankman, Root Mazer, and the Dude.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How cool is that, right?
Twitter's been sent, so let's go.
Let's go. Okay. All right, we're live. Welcome to the Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast. It's Sunday, March 1st, and it's 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Join with me today on the panel, we have the infamous Dr. Vankman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome.
Also, we've got Abe Froman on the panel.
Hi, Jambe.
Okay.
Micka Licka Hi, Micka, I so want to kill you right now.
Wow.
And that voice was Mr. Black. How you doing, Mr. Black?
Yo, yo. That's good. How are you?
Good, good. And we are joined by the Dude. How are you?
Hello.
Dude, what up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Let's talk about some movies. Let's talk about something.
All right, well, let's go with a classic. Let's talk about the box office numbers.
Yeah, let's.
No surprise, really. Actually, a little bit surprised. The Jonas Brothers movie opened this weekend, and it only opened at number 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Only, that's still too high.
It was the 3D concert, and it did $12.7 million. But do you guys have any guess what beat it?
Yeah. No.
Street Fighter?
No, Street Fighter.
No, we'll get.
Don't
to
tell me it's Street Fighter.
We'll get to Street Fighter, but
it, yeah, I know what it is, but I don't want to say.
Well, it was last week's number one, and it dropped down 60%. It came out number one at 16.5 million, but it dropped 60%. That's pretty bad.
Tyler Perry sure knows how to make some good movies.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? It so far brought in 64 million. So
we're gonna get another one.
Yeah. But yeah.
On the panel, seen the movies, the Medea,
Medellin. I don't think anyone in this panel really fits the demo, so maybe Abe. let's see.
Crazy black women.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, and number 3, Slumdog Millionaire got a bump. It opened up in a bunch of theaters. Yeah,
finally.
Opened
so
up in a bunch.
World actually got to see the movie.
Yeah, and
good movie.
Number 4, Taken, still going strong, only dropping 11%.
Go Taken.
Yeah, that's just a sign of a good film.
Taken needs to be there.
Yeah. Everything else is not worth mentioning, but Chung Li, the legend, you know, Street Fighter, the legend of Chung Li, opening that at awesome number movie. 8. Number 8, 4.6 million. Holy cow.
So it actually made the top 10. Wow.
Yeah, it made the top 10, but. You, yeah. You know they've spent more than 4.6 million on advertising for this thing. I'm not sure why they even made it.
They made it because it's Street Fighter. There's a market for that, okay? This is a 90s video game, and there's a market out there for a new Street Fighter movie because the Jean-Claude Van Damme version just didn't cut it.
Yeah, and they just released a new Street Fighter game. Street Fighter 4.
Well, that too.
You know what? I'm all Street Fighter'd out. I got that out of my system back in the 90s.
I don't know, man. I've seen long lines for people buying that game.
Well, I don't see long lines out to go see Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li.
Very true.
Well, I think the geeks have been able to get enough mental separation between a crappy movie and a good video game, so...
Well, and it's not that hard to do with the Street Fighter franchise, because we were all incredibly disappointed by the first movie anyway, so, I mean, nobody's going to have high expectations about another one.
What are you talking about? Van Damme is a genius.
What?
No.
Just not as an American Army colonel playing, you know, Guile. Come on.
Yeah, but didn't the French
Seriously,
accent...
Seriously, come on.
I'm joking. Okay.
Not.
All right, let's jump right into it. We've got a review for Killzone 2, something we don't really usually talk about here on the Geek Tyrant podcast is video games. And we've got a review from Mr. Black. All I can say is I've seen the game... I've seen the gameplay, and I can't wait to play this game. It looks amazingly good. It matches the cinematics, which people thought they could not do.
Yeah, when the game first starts, for those who haven't played it yet, when the game first starts, you're treated to a really, really, really cool cinematic sequence. And the graphics on the cinematic sequence are pretty high in comparison to most video game graphics, and then it just cuts immediately into the game. Without any graphic change.
Well, that's pretty incredible.
So the gameplay graphics are amazing. And
insane. It's a pretty amazing game.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just saying I can't wait to play it myself. It's just that I got three other games that I'm still working on. So once I finally find the time to beat those, then I'll go out and get myself some...
Been in as many projects...
my many projects that I'm working on.
I posted a few pics on the site, and those are actual in-game shots. Those aren't, like, pre-rendered or anything. These are actual in-game.
Yeah. So something you mentioned in your review is that there's, like, really no HUD. There's no...
There's no HUD. Yeah. Okay, I'll put it this way. There's even less HUD than Dead Space.
Really?
So, wow. For those of you that remember Dead Space, their whole gimmick is that they didn't want a HUD in the game at all to give you a full immersion.
Wow.
But what they did is they cheated by giving you your health gauge on the back of the characters, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Well, this has no HUD for most of the time. The only time you see a HUD is when you're firing your gun, you see your ammo counter kind of pop up. But it's in a very subtle kind of way. So it kind of fades in a little bit.
Wait, they're not going to have you count bullets and then just wait for the click to reload?
I can't.
I mean, for the most part, you're going to be doing that anyways. Okay. I mean, you're not even really going to be looking at your ammo counter. Because it's all the way in the corner, too, so it's out of the way.
Yeah.
And there's no health gauge. The way they do the health in this game, the way you can register your health, is as you take damage, the screen slowly loses color. And even gets darker and darker. Like when you get near death, the screen almost goes black. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool new way to do things.
Yeah,
I think.
We throw out the term HUD, and just for people who don't know, HUD stands for Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yes.
Nut
Cheerios in this game.
You drop the D.
Unlike every other.
I mean, Froman. Let's see now. Have you guys all seen Rick Baker's concept art for Wolfman?
Yes.
Am I the only one?
I'm going to have Bankman pull it up. Here we go.
Yeah. I think it's... You know, me and Bankman and some friends actually went to Universal's Haunted... Haunted Maze.
Horror Nights.
Horror Nights during that. Oh, Black was there too, actually, right?
Yep, I sure was.
And we saw a little preview trailer there, and there wasn't very much. I don't think we didn't see the Wolfman at all in it, did we?
You saw like you didn't see anything clear, but you saw like silhouettes and stuff.
Yeah, but still, I mean, just the style of it looked really cool. I love the I love that it's a period film.
That's
and they're taking it back.
That's Benicio, right?
That is Benicio.
You know what's kind of funny? If anyone out there, if you pull up, if you click on the story and you scroll down to some of the pictures where it's Benicio just kind of yelling, it kind of looks like Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah, it does.
And just imagine, Aflac!
Look at the mouth on this guy. Holy crap, man.
Yeah, that does not look like it's fun. I'm just.
I can't wait for this movie, dude.
They have the Axe chocolate body spray version of him as well.
I'm also a big fan of the director on this movie, Joe Johnston. I think he's also directing Captain America, Marvel, and I think the guy just is really talented. He knows his action sequences. He knows you know story and character. So I think the guy's a pretty solid director. I think he's going to give us a pretty good film.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just wondering, with Rick Baker involved, I'm just wondering how involved they're going to be with some of the CG effects, or if they're going to try to do this all special effects. Because I think you could.
So.
I think you could.
I hope they do. I don't want to see this as an all CG wolf.
I'd like to see the whole thing real, you know? I'd like to see a tangible wolf like they did back in the day, but with, you know, the way technology is makeup-wise and you know, the way special effects is going with that whole thing, I think it'd be awesome.
But you also have we're running into a new problem now with makeup effects that we're going to start seeing because of HD. In the past, you can get away with a lot more than you can now because everything's so much clearer. And then, I don't know, I imagine most studios have been upping the ante on their, you know, effects technology, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of studios are going to, like, start using less and less makeup effects because of it.
Yeah. Also, when it comes to makeup design, you're usually building up on top of someone's face. But if you want to do anything like you're carving away at someone's face and kind of making it look less human or just thinner in general, you can't really do that with makeup. So.
Yeah.
Kind of like Ralph Fiennes in Harry Potter with a...
Oh, yeah, that was just...
His nose, make him look really like a snake and...
You know, you could always do a good blend.
I'm all about the blend. If they do a good, where it's half, you know, human and half effect, and then half, you know, CG.
They did with Benjamin Button.
Well, I have my own separate opinion about Benjamin Button. People do. So.
I think the destruction from those previous podcasts has been. Some people were hurting the collateral damage, I believe. Now.
Yeah.
Just keeping on the same feeling, I think Guillermo del Toro's Splice.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That looks awesome.
The character design, the guy's a genius.
That looks cool. I can't wait for that.
I think it was the most commented on story this week?
I think so. Splice.
Probably.
A lot of good people coming in and commenting about, you know, what they were liking. I mean, a lot of people just really dig what he's doing there.
Yeah. Do you know, Venkman, what the storyline is, or at least the hinted storyline for Splice is?
From what I understand, it's about two characters' names are Elsa and Clive. And I guess they're these, you know, scientists or whatever. I had a little description here, actually, on the page that kind of talks about it. It says that these guys, they defy legal and ethical boundaries and forge ahead with a dangerous experiment splicing together human and animal DNA to create a new organism named Dren. And the creature rapidly develops from a deformed female infant into a beautiful but dangerous winged human.
Winged?
Thing.
Winged human chimera.
And you know, looking at these pictures, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of kind of a hybrid between the Pan character in Pan's Labyrinth and then that creepy hand monster guy.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the eyes on that girl. They're so creepily far apart. It's like, it just looks weird.
Same thing with that guy and his crazy huge nose that bends. Like, that's not natural. Right?
That's Adrian Brody. That's just...
Yeah, I mean, what crazy effect of his nose. His eyes close together.
Just jumping slightly off topic, I just remember there's this scene in The Pianist where the light is coming through and it's hitting into his nose, and it's fairly, you know, skin is fairly thin tissue, and you can see the light bounce around his nose, and it makes his nose, like, glow pink. I forgot what scene it is in the movie, but it totally threw me off for a few minutes. But, yeah.
You know, it happens.
Mazur had to pinch himself, make sure he was still alive.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Oh, huh?
Yeah, so have you guys also seen these Wolverine posters?
Yeah.
The let's bring the ladies to the show posters.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much all it is.
Because there's no way you have I guess you could have some geek guy out there posting these up, but I think it's more for to draw the female demo in. Because they don't need to sell us on Wolverine.
What?
Pretty much sells itself, doesn't it, in a way?
Pretty much.
Not a very well-known character these days, and so I think they really need to do everything they can to push, you know, who Wolverine is.
Yeah. Now, we kind of semi-discussed it on the live we kind of semi-discussed it on the live podcast. What did you guys think of Hugh Jackman hosting the Oscars, or his lack of hosting the Oscars?
Yeah, it didn't. Really,
I think he was all right. I don't think he was great, but I thought he was all right.
Even Will Smith was like, "Oh yeah, he's taking a nap right now."
Like, you know, he didn't really do much, so I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I was personally, I don't know. I would very much more like to see a charismatic comedian or something. I've mentioned it a few times, but Conan O'Brien or Ricky Gervais, I think would have just done a much better job. You know, and he hid for the whole thing. And, I mean, maybe that was merited. I mean, he did do a lot of the whole song and dance, and sure, that probably required a lot more practice and time on his part. But I would have just personally rather seen a charismatic host, you know, being funny for the whole 3 hours rather than just a host who comes out every once in a while and does his thing. Yeah. I'm not really into that whole song and dance thing myself, so that's a personal preference. But, yeah, I thought it could have been much better done.
Yeah. What did you guys?
You know who I would like to see?
Yeah.
Host, and this would just be complete, like, departure from what they've ever done. Probably is I would like to see them do like have Simon Pegg and Nick Frost host it together. I don't know if that really play with American audiences.
People, that,
in honesty, but I would love that personally.
I don't know. Trying something different.
Now, what
Succeeded because they had more viewers. Their viewership was up this year.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, way to go, guys. What did you guys think of they slightly changed the format and they actually combined presenters. They had some presenters, it looked like presenting multiple awards. How many did Will Smith do, like two or three?
He did like three.
Whatever.
Most of them did like two, I think.
Yeah.
I think they were just doing that because of money. Concerns. It's cheaper this way, I guess.
Well, I think it's more of a time concern because instead of having someone get on the stage, introduce them, etc., etc., he just goes, "Oh, here, the next award is." I think that was maybe a smart way of tightening up the show a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good move. That's not a move.
Yeah.
While we're on Hugh Jackman and kind of the whole Wolverine thing, do you mind if I bring up Deadpool?
Okay.
Can we talk about Deadpool's? Freaking
sure.
I think we've been putting it off, kind of, so let's get to it.
Deadpool looks like he sucks. The mouth doesn't even have a mouth. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense, because that's the whole point of the character, right, is that he's got a big mouth.
Exactly.
So why does he have a mouth that's all stitched up? It's just retarded.
Not only that, they gave the guy these sword knives coming out of his hands, like the duct tape on there or something. I don't know.
Oh.
That scars all over his body.
Oh, please don't tell me that they shoot out of his hands.
Yeah.
No. They're like supposed to be like Wolverine's claws, except there's only like one blade on each arm.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That's okay. Wow.
I would change that iconic costume. My favorite action figure growing up was my Deadpool action figure because he looks such like a freaking badass.
Yeah, and now look at him.
It's because Hollywood doesn't know what they're doing anymore.
Well, Marvel at least would have did it right. Fox obviously has a problem with the way Deadpool was looking. I guess they wanted to like make him a little bit more hardcore.
No, I know a little bit, but for some people out there, they might not know that Fox can control these characters over what Marvel would want them to do, right?
Yes, and the rights for all the X-Men characters, so they can do whatever the hell they want, even if it doesn't make Marvel happy. And Marvel is not happy about what they did to Deadpool.
Wow.
So, you know, from the trailer and everything, the movie looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It looks like it's going to be, you know, action-packed, exciting. There's going to be lots of explosions. You know, we're going to get to see this history of Wolverine that, you know, looks like it would be, you know, pretty cool origin story. So, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a fun movie, but, you know, just taking one of the most iconic characters, like an iconic character like Deadpool, and just totally changing him into something that he's not, and creating a new character, it doesn't make any sense. It's like they're going out of the way to piss off Marvel and the fans, you know?
Yeah.
Why would they want to do that?
Now, is it true that Ryan Reynolds was trying to fight to get the Deadpool character back to...
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds has been fighting for a Deadpool, you know, to play Deadpool for a long time, and finally he gets to play it, and they change the character into this butt.
And Ryan Reynolds is perfect to play Deadpool.
Exactly.
I can't think of any other actor to play Deadpool than Ryan Reynolds.
Thinking they're going to get a spin-off movie off this guy? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because fans are going to hate it.
Yeah.
I really hope this is all just, like, disinformation or something that... I don't know why they would do it, but...
The proof is in the action figure, my friend.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it's just like... He's only like that for like 30 seconds in the movie.
You know, maybe, but then why do they make an action figure of a guy that's only going to be in the movie 30 seconds?
It's not the first time that's happened.
Well, I don't know. I hope that it happens, but just, you know, just looking at what they've done to him, I mean, they've totally taken the character and just...
Yeah.
Destroyed him.
Yeah.
Made him something that he's not. So, you know, Fox, if you're listening, and I know you're not, screw you. Screw you.
This is like putting a noose around your own neck, Fox. I mean, what were you thinking?
But at the same time, the I think a lot of people are going to like the movie. Regardless of what they do with Deadpool, a lot of people are going to like it. I mean, it's going to be better than X3. Yeah, X-Men 3. That's for sure.
Oh,
because this one's on a Ratner film, that's why.
Well, something we have look forward to is the films in 2010. And these are going to be Marvel-controlled characters. So it's going to be true to the comic books, and it's going to be true to the comic book geeks out there. Iron Man 2?
Yep. Very excited for Iron Man 2, everybody.
There are a lot of casting rumors around Iron Man 2.
And Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt.
Sorry.
Now,
yes, she may be replaced by Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, really?
Although cute, she can't act worth a damn.
She can't act.
No. Do you guys remember when she was kind of... She did, like, Ghost World, and you're like, oh, kind of a young indie actress, you know, who can act and looks pretty.
World.
But then, what happened? She did that Woody Allen film, and she did
The Prestige.
Well, even in even in The Prestige, she was still playing herself with a bad English accent.
Yeah.
Now, okay, Venkman, you probably have the newest information. Is Rourke in or out, or, I mean, what's going on?
It still is not committed. He's still not in or out. So he's not committed to the project right now. So until we get some new info on that, it just stands that, hey, we all hope he does it.
Yeah.
But
is he making a sequel to The Wrestler or something?
Yes. Yes, he is.
All right, we've got Thor coming out July 16th, 2010. Thor?
Oh, yeah, Thor. Sorry, I missed what you said.
Have they finally cast a Thor yet?
They have not cast a Thor yet, but they're looking for a 20-something-year-old to play the part of Thor. 20-something.
Venkman, you're going Cylon on us again.
Yeah.
Why?
It's gone Cylon again.
Hate Cylon.
It sounds hilarious.
We must
this happened. This happened like 2 weeks ago, didn't it?
It did. We're switching.
Do we need to call you guys back? Or how'd you guys fix it last week? A couple weeks ago.
They switched microphones. Is all they did.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have to call them back.
Okay. I've only got 4 more topics up here, so, and we're 27 minutes in, so I think we're gonna do all right.
So
I think we need to announce when these things are gonna happen, because I don't think I have about 5 of these windows up, and I don't know how many Venkman has up of those 27 people.
27 people.
Well,
those 27 are all us, man.
Yeah. Well, we have
we're
18.
Just up
we have 18.
To make ourselves feel better.
We have 18.
We
viewers.
Have 18 viewers.
So, yeah, not sure what that means exactly, but
yeah, we have 18 viewers, but 27 in chat. So, it counts it only if you press play, I think.
Yeah.
So, the 18 of you that are listening to us, we apologize for these technical difficulties.
Oh, we've lost one. Oh, we're back up again.
We gained one. And you have that nice little chat box there too, so feel free to start chatting with us.
Can you
anybody listening?
Are you here?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Are we Cyloning out or what?
No, you're good.
You're skinny
no, you're
off
good.
Now.
Okay, good.
Okay, now
everybody.
Yeah. So there's
viewers are sometimes.
So apparently they're looking to cast a 20-something-year-old for Thor. Really?
20-something-year-old for Thor.
Why?
I don't know.
I know Hollywood skews young, but Thor never caught me as, I mean, 20-something, I'd say 30-something, you know?
Yeah, 30, mid, I'd say mid to late 30s.
What studio is doing Thor?
That's Marvel.
It's Marvel.
Marvel Movies is straight doing Thor?
Yep.
They're not doing it through Fox or anything?
No. The only reason I can think of them wanting to do a 20-something is because they want to build, if they get someone who's older, they won't be able to hold on to a Thor franchise for as long. This is the only thinking the reason I...
But a 20-something-year-old, no. Do somebody in their mid to late 30s, because then you can hold on to them for a while.
Yeah.
And it'll still be the same. You know? There's a bunch of, like, mid-30-year-old actors who look like they're in their 40s.
Yeah.
Just grab one of them.
End up doing. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they know something that we don't. Maybe they know something we don't know, and they're gonna do something pretty incredible that we're all gonna be so excited about.
Yeah.
Venkman? Do you know if this is gonna be like the Ultimate Universe kind of Thor thing?
Because
I mean, didn't they do that with Nick Fury?
I mean, the movie's gonna take place in Asgard, so the whole movie's gonna take place there, except for. Most likely the end where they will end up bringing Thor into Midgard combine Avengers film or something like that.
Yeah.
So, most of the movie will probably take place in Asgard.
Yeah.
So, Vengman, I want to hear from you. We had a conversation a few months back. Who's your pick for Thor? I know they don't have anything set, but who would you cast?
My casting decision, if they were going with someone older than 20-something, would be Kevin McKidd from the TV show Rome.
Okay.
Rome.
I think the guy is perfect for the part. He's got the look. He's got that awesome booming voice that Thor has. And I think Kevin McKidd would make the perfect Thor. That's my opinion. If they do go for a younger Thor, I was kind of looking at some other actors and stuff, and came across a guy by the name of Garrett Hedlund, who played Achilles'
cousin
or younger brother.
It's his cousin.
Okay, it was his cousin.
Troy, right.
Yeah.
He's also an Aragorn. But he looks like, if they did go with the younger Thor, he's the only guy I can think of that has the look, but I don't even know about, you know, what his acting ability is like. He's also going to star in Tron 2.0, so most likely it won't work since he's doing that right now. So, I don't know. We'll have to figure that out if I was casting.
I'm liking your idea of Kevin McKidd.
Well, yeah, Kevin McKidd's the perfect Thor, period.
I'm liking that idea. I think that would work out perfectly, actually. He looks a lot like Thor.
Yeah, yeah.
Just with a shorter beard.
Yeah, I would have to definitely go with that. Now, it's something here. I never really got into this character, Ant-Man.
Ant-Man.
Yeah. They've already got two films in there. Do you think Ant-Man's real? Or...
I think Edgar Wright is actually in talks to do that one.
Yeah, I heard the same.
So,
yeah.
With him involved, I'm sure he'll put together something pretty cool.
Hey, Vankman, we've got a little popping going on your end.
Of course there's popping.
Dang it, Vankman.
Popcorn.
Still going?
Always Vankman.
Black, do you hear that too?
Yeah, it sounds like the precursor of you going Cylon again.
All right. Here we go. Let's go Cylon, everybody.
No, no Cylon. There's no post, man. Remember, we can't clean this up in post.
Well, for this
live, right, man. Now.
This is live TV.
Yeah. Well, we will have a version that you can listen at any time, and
listen to us right now. You'll definitely want to listen to us all over again.
Yeah.
They're going to want to listen to this again.
Yeah. Well, there's some people who are, you know, doing something else on a Sunday night. So, what we got to do is we got to get this on iTunes. I was chatting with someone on here and gave us bigcontact.com is a site to check out for something like that.
And we will, Geek Tyrant listeners, we will have you up on iTunes for your listening pleasure in the coming months or years. We'll see.
We'll see how that goes.
Now,
yeah. Now, a film I'm excited about.
Back, everybody. We're back. Hey, we're back.
We're back.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
Yes, you're back.
You're back.
Shady's back.
Okay. Now, a film I'm excited about is Green Lantern. I actually really like this character, but we got some feedback in the rant backs about Anton Yelchin being cast. Some rumors floating around.
And I have an update on that, actually.
Oh, you do?
Everybody?
There we go.
Do it.
He's denied it.
He's denied it. Okay.
He denied it. He said no. It's not true.
Good.
Okay.
So yeah. But just because he's denied it, let's discuss amongst ourselves who would make a good Green.
Well, there was a couple.
Jobs open now, everybody. Anybody who wants to play Green Lantern, send your resumes in.
There's actually a couple of people that ranted their suggestions for Green Lantern on the post.
Yeah, I put mine.
And I would like to see a lesser known actor by the name of Ben Browder, who many of you remember from this TV show called Farscape. And he was on the last two seasons of SG-1, Stargate SG-1. I think he would be perfect for the Green Lantern.
Oh.
He would.
You know, he does, because the Green Lantern was a test pilot who found, you know, came across an alien with a ring. So you has to make a credible military test pilot, right?
And this guy's played a test pilot in, like, two or three different TV shows. I mean, and he's got that whole all-American boy kind of look to him, which Green Lantern kind of has.
Yeah. Well,
I think he would be perfect. He's got the sense of humor for it and everything, so.
Yeah. And
he's just not a big-name actor, so that's why it'll never happen.
Dude, don't end up casting your favorite actor, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Leo DiCaprio.
Or Samuel L. Jackson, because he's in everything.
Or Matt Damon, something like that.
Yeah.
Actually, I could see Matt Damon doing it, to be honest.
All right.
They probably will go with a lesser-known actor, I think. I don't know who. Frankly, I don't care at this point. I think they should go for a no-name. And just have him fit the part, have him be a great actor, and I'm good to go.
I think it's more about casting a well-known villain, an actor in the well-known villain.
Mm-hmm.
See where I'm going with that.
I have to say, I think it's all about writing a good script first. And then everything else will just kind of happen.
A Latino Review actually did a script review on that, and they really liked it. So
okay. If it's got a good script, then the acting is kind of it should just be easier to cast.
Yeah.
You know, a good script is all well and good, but if the craft services aren't good, then...
That's a very good point there, you got.
Then things are going to hell. I like the way you think, Ed Froman, Sausage King of Chicago there.
Now, another film coming out in 2010
monkey.
Is Clash of the Titans.
Yep. Yeah. It's Lettier.
Yeah.
Louis. Is it Louis?
It is Louis Leterrier.
Now, I love this Harryhausen film, but like the effects, I mean, it was stop motion, and I do feel kind of. What do you guys feel? Is it time for the update?
No. I am against it personally.
Classic like that, but you know, it's gonna happen. The one thing I like that they're doing with this is they are bringing in. Well, because Harryhausen is still alive, and so they are bringing him in to help develop the creatures for this remake. So, at least they're doing that. They're bringing the old school back in.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it won't all be CG, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be 90% CG. You can count on that one.
It all on green screen.
it's going to be green screen Orama.
It's going to be Disney 2D animation.
I would actually prefer that, to be honest, over the CG.
Hey, that might be more interesting. I know when they did Prince of Egypt, it was, I think, probably better than something they could have done live action. So,
yeah. The only thing I can think of that will make this good is to not try to outdo the original, but try to maybe stylize it even farther. So maybe make it look kind of like a 300 or a Sin City or something.
Yeah.
Just stylize the crap out of it. Because if they try to just make this thing like what Spielberg tried to do with War of the Worlds, I just think it's going to end up the same. It's just not going to be up to par, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have hope for it.
Yeah.
As much as I hate to see a classic get remade, I still have hope that it'll be a good movie and that we'll be able to enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, we have another classic coming out in 2010. There's been a few different live-action adaptations, but I don't think there's been an animated movie. Is Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that's the one that's done by Tim Burton.
I'm excited for that one.
Oh, heck.
I think it'll be good. I think he's perfect to do this.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think that anyone else is going to cut it. I mean, I'm sure someone else could make the movie, but not with the same vision that Tim Burton. Great Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, I'm just an artist. I'm just an artist.
Yeah, just seeing... I've only seen one image of Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter, and I'm just like... Just seeing the character design, I'm excited to really see where they go with, like, say, the Cheshire Cat or the queen, or, you know, the rabbit. It just, yeah, this is totally speaks to Tim Burton's strengths.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, this is just a perfect outing for Tim Burton. Yeah. I mean, any other director would probably be just like, why not just cast Tim Burton?
Exactly.
Like when they cast Shaq as Kazam, you know what, he's just take that and just run with it. You know, that was like his strengths.
But you know, believe it or not, when they cast him as Steel, I was like, you know what, I see that. But now I go, they shouldn't have done that. But at the time, I was like, oh yeah, he looks the part, but yeah.
What about Samuel Jackson as Shaft?
Oh, yeah. That proved wrong again. It made sense, and then you saw it and you went, no. So another surprise on this list is The Last Airbender, which is, I think, a great cartoon show, but
I do too.
Shyamalan. I'm surprised.
Shyamalan's last chance in my book. If he can't take someone else's work and someone else's, you know, characters and make something of it, then the guy's screwed, because I'm surprised he's doing anything after that piece of crap The Happening came out.
Well, a lot of people actually, I didn't see it, but a lot of people I've heard actually liked The Happening.
Oh my gosh. I have no idea how someone could have actually seen that and honestly enjoyed it. Unless it was like for a whole Plan 9 from Outer Space, you watched it because it was so bad sort of a thing.
Yeah.
That was a horrible, horrible movie, no matter how you looked at it. I cannot imagine anyone actually liking that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure there are some, but I can't see it. That boggles my mind. That blows my mind that someone could actually enjoy that movie.
Which, you know,
it's shocking when people say, oh yeah, I like The Happening, because I'm like, how can you like nothing there? There's no story. It's the acting is absolutely horrid. The dialogue and the script is just...
Oh, come on, it's Marky Mark.
It's no. Mark can act.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he can. He
has not been delivering the acting on the last couple movies he did, like The Happening and
Max Payne.
But we all know the guy can act when he's playing that guy from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Or Joyzy.
Or from Philly. Or from Philly.
Tough, man.
Or from
he
Philly.
Can play the Boston Tough because he is the Boston Tough.
Yeah.
He's Boston. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, he's you know, he is Marky Mark from the Funky Bunch.
The tabloids.
Yeah. Well, you know what kind of it scares me about that film is Shyamalan is a talented director, and he's able to get the exact performance he wants out of his actors. So to see the crappy performances in The Happening means that's exactly what he wanted. And that's kind of scary.
Yep. It means he's losing his mind.
Yeah. Now, so
he may just be running out of steam, too. I mean, maybe he had only so much in him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Personally, when I saw that, I thought this guy, he had a point that he wanted to get across, and he wanted to, you know, make this point.
It was a political agenda.
Everything just took a back seat to it. It's almost like he didn't even care as long as he made his film that, you know, that relayed his message, which is fine in a film. I don't mind that. I mean, I personally don't like to be, you know, preached to or whatever in a film, but whatever. I don't mind it, unless you put it in a piece of crap like The Happening. And just no thought towards story, acting, anything. It's just like, okay, well, let's get this film out that teaches people about the environment. We'll throw something together. Who cares? It just that really got to me.
Yeah,
that's why The Last Airbender is Shyamalan's last chance at making a decent film. Because if he can't pull that off, where everything's pretty much already laid out on the table for him, then he's over. He's done.
Yeah.
But he's not, because Hollywood will still hire him, just like they still hire Brett Ratner.
I really don't want to start putting Shyamalan in Brett Ratner's place, so I really hope he delivers it on this
film.
Yeah,
he hasn't gotten that far. Now, in those two films, you know, I don't care if they make them or if they don't, but if they're good, hey, good. And if they're not, I'm not going to be surprised. Those two films are The Green Hornet and The A-Team.
Yeah.
Let's talk about The A-Team just a little bit.
Okay.
Casting rumors. Who's signed up? Who's on the list for this film?
No one. Nope. John Singleton was on the project. He dropped out of the project, so he's no longer in it. And then they recently brought in a new director. So they're back at square one on the A-Team.
Wow. Okay. Well, the Green Hornet...
I just want to say about the A-Team, I think Tracy Morgan should play Mr. T.
That would be hilarious. But they're more likely to cast, like, Tyrese or something.
Yeah, unfortunately, because Hollywood's stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe Shaq.
Or Shaq.
They're going to do Mos Def.
It's going to be Don Cheadle watch.
I think Mos Def is the wrong actor, but I like him. Now, the Green Hornet, I like who they have for, well, obviously, the Green Hornet and for Kato. The director just got picked recently. What do you guys feel about the Green Hornet project?
Who's directing it?
Michel Gondry. He's here. He did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. He directed Be Kind, Rewind. He directed many movies.
Signs of Sleep.
I think that'll be good.
A lot of his movies.
Now, I think he's an interesting choice because you could have a very odd, campy feeling of the Green Hornet, plus the action, plus the humor. It's just like this really weird mix, and they've picked three guys who the Green Hornet could bring these guys together. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and I think that's a great observation, and I think what they've got so far works for that.
Seth Rogen talked about it and said that the guy that he's always been a fan of the director's work, and so he, just for the hell of it, he sent him the script without consulting anybody, just to see what he thought of it. He liked the script so much that he went out and got a bunch of stuntmen together and went out and cast the film. Or not cast the film, but went out and shot a short action sequence from the script to show them. So when he went in there to show them the stuff, everyone was blown away. They said that Seth Rogen said it was a fight scene unlike anything he's ever seen before. So he's like, we had to hire him because it was just too good to pass up.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
That's
so
awesome.
I mean, that's saying a lot, and having him come in and bring that up, I mean, it could end up being a really awesome film, and I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I hope that it actually... Yeah. I mean, it's going to get made. Everything's coming together, so...
Now this
Rogan can do whatever the hell he wants in Hollywood right now, so... He's okay. No,
this guy playing Kato is Steven... Is it Steven Chow?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope...
What has he been in? I mean, most audiences be famous for?
Shaolin Soccer, Kung Fu Hustle, CJ7, all good films. The guy's very talented when it comes to, you know, martial arts, comedy, stuff like that. He's a really talented guy.
Yeah.
I loved Kung Fu Hustle. That was such a good movie.
Yeah. Now, I don't see this on the list. Maybe this is a 2011 thing. Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America is 2011.
That's 2011? Okay.
We have to wait even longer before we can see the Captain.
Yeah, so that's a few years away. We'll be talking about that for a while.
Iron Man 2, let's look for that shield, everybody.
Iron Man is going to have the shield, or no? Now,
the shield with two swords that come out of his arm.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, nice. So there's this project, Cloverfield. There's a Cloverfield sequel coming out. I love J. Abrams.
Maybe if they get the idea off the ground, if it doesn't feel right, they're not going to go through with it. But if they can do it, they'll do it.
I think they're going to do it. That's why I brought it up. They made so much money.
But if you read Abrams' comment, he says he's not going to do this for money. He's going to do this if he comes up with an idea or a story that he enjoys, that he wants to do, then that's when he's going to do it. He actually specifically says that.
Yeah.
So he says he's not going to do this just for the money. He's going to do this if he figures out a story that he likes and wants to do.
Well, sometimes what the studios do is, you know, when you want to make another film and they want you to make their film, they'll sometimes say, hey, if you do this, we'll give you the funding for your pet project. So, Hollywood's sneaky. We know that.
It's all politics in the end.
It is. But
Abrams doesn't
want it to be politics, obviously. He wants to do it as a labor of love instead of as a labor of money.
Yeah. Hey, I'm getting an echo up from someone here.
The movie's still going to make a buttload, so...
That's not an echo, that's a crying baby.
That's a crying baby, everybody. Welcome.
Okay.
You brought a crying baby into the studio.
Well, it wouldn't be a Geek Tyrant podcast without a crying baby.
It's true. Every Geek Tyrant podcast has to have a crying baby in the background, at least the podcast.
Okay, so we have this Robin Hood movie. And
yes.
The weirdest rumor is Russell Crowe is playing Robin Hood and the sheriff?
No, that was a rumor that was spread that is now passed. Now he will just play Robin Hood.
Okay.
The story will focus on Robin Hood. And Russell Crowe says this will be the best Robin Hood movie ever. Otherwise, what's the point of making it?
Yeah.
I just can't see him as Robin Hood. I'm sorry.
See, that's just something Russell Crowe would say, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like he's not going to say that about his Robin
Hood. Back in there.
What are you talking about? Actors don't do that. Mark Wahlberg was totally talking up Max Payne, and that movie was brilliant.
He was talking up Max Payne. He actually was talking up Max Payne, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not going to forget that. All right, well, we have come pretty much to our hour mark. Is there anything else you guys wanted to bring up?
Yes. I just a couple things I want to rant about real quick. Keep making the Neverending Story.
Oh yeah.
Which is
pissing me off because it's a movie that should not be remade because it's fine the way it is. They're also
that pissed me off too. That was a huge, that angered me greatly.
Treatment.
Yeah.
And what do they do when they run out of 80s films to remake?
I don't know.
In the 70s.
Was that a remake?
They're going to start remaking 90s films now?
Which are remakes of 70s films.
Which are remakes of 70s films. Exactly.
They're gonna do remakes of remakes. That's the next thing.
It's like, we've redone Shakespeare's plays. I have no idea how many times.
That's true.
So, that's just the way art works.
I agree with you. And, you know, I'm usually pretty open to a remake. But I got to agree with Venkman here and Mr. Black on the remake of Neverending Story.
I don't agree on a lot of things.
And you know, that's a personal issue, too, because I just love that film so much. I don't want to see it get ruined. But usually I'm pretty liberal. I'm pretty open to a remake. I mean, I like when a film can, get more exposure for a younger audience. You know, maybe have them turn back on the original. Opens up some doors that way, but... Man, this one's just kind of that's playing close to home for me, so I'm with you there.
Yeah.
You know what? If you missed it, too bad. You had to be there when it first came out. Sorry. But I mean, by today's standards, if you watch it, you're probably not gonna like it.
Yeah. You know, maybe in another 15, 20 years, you know, when it's a little bit older, we're a little bit older, the audience is a little more. Departed from the original story, but
well, I'm
with you there. I don't think it needs to be touched right now.
I don't think it could be remade for the fact that just the way America is, the way we watch movies, you've got Harry Potter as magic kind of now, right? And that's kind of how kids are viewing it. To go into Neverending Story, they'd really have to like change a lot of it to make it feel cool for a lot of these kids.
You have a very solid point because the 80s fantasy movies are a lot different than they are now. And a lot of those movies that came out back then just won't work nowadays.
Yeah, it won't translate.
There weren't many fantasy movies like that back in the 80s.
There were a few.
Well, not as many as there are now.
Labyrinth?
Yeah, obviously.
And stuff like, you know, Clash of the Titans came out in the 80s. So it's like, I don't know.
But the fantasy was also a lot different back then. Because, I mean, you got other movies like Labyrinth. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Yeah. Oh, of course I remember Labyrinth. Who doesn't remember Labyrinth?
Now they're going to remake that. Oh, you mentioned it.
Ground Control to Major.
So we got Crawl. We got, what, Legend?
Legend? I mean, those are movies that, if you try to do them nowadays, audiences will just get bored and fall asleep in the middle of them.
Yeah, but we love them.
They don't understand. We love them because that was our time.
Hit them with tons of action and special effects.
Yeah, those things would just be glittering with effects.
Yeah.
We need a sequel to that starring Tom Cruise.
Oh, wow.
And Tim Curry.
You know what? If they make it, I'll watch it.
I will too. All
right. You had one, I think, one more?
One more thing. Watchmen comes out this week, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Friday.
Hope everyone's excited to go see Watchmen.
Friday, what are you talking about? Midnight, Thursday.
Show here in Burbank, California. And we're actually thinking about giving away a couple free tickets. And if that actually goes through, we'll let you know and we will run a contest.
We'll have to consult our budget here.
Yeah, we're going to have to consult our budget because it's coming out of our pockets.
I say we can do it.
Dude, there you go, budget consultant. Thank you. So actually, Vangman, and this is something I've been actually dying to talk to you about. I haven't brought it up because I didn't know if you spoke about this on the podcast a few weeks ago. I wasn't present for, but I mean, how did Watchmen measure up, man? Yay or nay?
Not talked about it in a podcast. This is kind of the first time I've actually gone over it, and I thought the movie was absolutely incredible. I'm a big fan of the graphic novel, and you know, I was hoping to hell that Snyder would pull it off and be able to do something great with it. I mean, obviously, I know he wasn't going to be able to put everything from the graphic novel in there, because if he did, it would be a 5.5-hour movie, and that just would be ridiculous. So, from what he did, what he took from the graphic novel, he did change the ending of the graphic novel, but that's fine because it still flows incredibly well, and the ending works completely fine, and is actually really good. So, I love the movie. I thought Watchmen was, for me, I thought it was better than Dark Knight, to be honest with you. So, and there's a lot of people out there that say that kind of agree with me on that one, which I was actually surprised about. But I've gotten a few comments from people saying, you know, Dark Knight, you know, yeah, it's a good movie, but you know, this looks better. And it was. I thought it was a better film. I thought they just went the extra mile with it. They took it to the extreme. It's obviously rated R, so they're not holding back on any type of action or anything, sex or nudity.
How true is the adaptation?
It's
like
it's so detailed. Okay. It's incredibly detailed, and it's incredibly true. I mean, if to the adaptation, and if you all you need to do is think about what you know. If you've read the graphic novel, you know what it's about. You know how you felt when you were reading it. All those feelings, everything, is there from the graphic novel. It has the same exact spirit. The movie was incredible, and I am really looking forward to watching it again. I can't wait to see it again.
What's your suggestion? Would you tell someone to go in with no expectations, or would you say maybe, you know, check out the graphic novel before you see the film? It might boost your enjoyment of the film and when you're seeing it. What would you suggest?
You know, I don't know. I went and saw it with some people that had not seen that have not read the graphic novel before. And they liked it. They really thought it was good. So, if you haven't read the graphic novel, there are people that haven't liked it. And I don't think you have to read it to go in. I mean, if you want to, that's awesome. But even if you do go see it without reading the graphic novel, after you watch it, go read the graphic novel. I mean, it's a graphic novel that needs to be read. So just read it.
Definitely.
So, it was awesome.
Cool.
And I'm so excited to see it again.
Exciting. Well, I guess we're going to be giving out some tickets. Is there any other topics anyone else wants to bring up before we close up? That sounds like a no.
Don't you want to bring up Stretch Armstrong?
Gosh.
Okay, I'm just joking. Okay. We can end it.
Yeah, let's not go there.
All right, well, this has been Geek Tyrant Weekly live podcast now. And
number 21?
21.
21?
We're 21 already?
Yeah.
Podcast 21.
Wow. Okay, well.
Second one live.
Yeah. Well, try to join us, folks. We're going to start doing this on a regular basis every Sunday at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Join us in the chat. Throw us out questions. If we're talking about something and you want to know, well, we can answer those questions. So, yeah.
Everything about movies.
Exactly. So, until next week, I guess, we'll see you guys later.
Take care.
Bye.